Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me say, in case nobody else has said it, happy Thanksgiving. It is here. I can't believe we're at that time of the year already. The calendar is racing by us, but this is always one of my favorite weeks of the year. And I hope that you don't let thankfulness and gratitude get lost in the rush toward Christmas. Take some time this week to count your blessings and see what God has done. In connection with Thanksgiving, I would like to mention to you, last week in our special offering, you gave something close to $60,000. Yay. Now, don't clap yet. Don't clap yet, okay? Because what I also need to tell you is, 2023, this year only, for that project, you have given something close to $275,000 this year. Now you can clap. So, and we praise God for that. We praise God for your generosity. And Lord willing, and the contractor, get moving. We'll see some dirt flying before we get too much further down the road. But thank you for your resounding support of this project. We sang just a second ago that lovely old song, one of my favorite songs, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And like most great songs, that one is taken straight from Scripture, from Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. And maybe it's notable that this verse about the goodness and faithfulness of God is deep in the heart of a book about sadness and lament and mourning. God's love never shines more brightly than when the earth is kind of shaking around us. Here it is, what the verse actually says. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions and mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah knew what he was talking about. He understood a thing or two about sorrow, but he knew that God was bigger. We've been talking past, present, and future. If we see it, if we are able to see it, the past and the present and the future are each framed in God's faithfulness and grace and mercy. As good as things get sometimes, it is only by God's goodness and grace that we have anything good at all. As bad and as hard as it gets sometimes, even the bad things, the worst things, are filtered first through God's loving hands. It's hard for us to see at that time, but it's always true that it could have been worse, because we could have been alone. How much worse that would have been. The prophet Jeremiah, in spite of and through all of it, is right when he proclaims, "Great is your faithfulness." Charles Dickens' ghosts have been our foil for the last few weeks as we've considered past, present, and future. The past we've talked about is one of two things. It's either a grievous tormentor whose chains can debilitate and destroy us by their sheer gravity, or the past can be an effective teacher that informs our present as by grace the chains and the shackles fall to the ground and we leave them behind. In the past, we can see what God has done. The present, we said as we ended last week, that the present is a gift. That's why they call it the present. It is a fleeting gift. It comes and passes in an instant. But it is in the present moment that every decision is made, and that each new day brings new proof of God's mercy and his goodness and his faithfulness to us. Jeremiah was right. His mercies are new every morning if we can see them. We need to see them. In the past, we see what God has done. In the present, we can see what God is doing. But the future is where we are today. The future is different somehow. It is a complete mystery by most measurements. Dickens' genius showed the nature of these three ghosts, and his portrayal of the third spirit was stylized to show him cloaked, unseen, unspeaking, fearsome, foreboding. His not yet penitent man, Scrooge, fears the ghost of Christmas is yet to come, the future, more than all of the other spirits. And often, so do we. But you know what? I think the future gets a bum rap. The Bible has so much to say about the future. It includes so much that is forward-focused. The entire Bible books, many of the books in our Bible concern prophecies of things yet to come. Some of them, the whole book is pretty much wrapped up in what often is kind of overwhelming. Jesus told us not to worry about tomorrow, about the future, but also his brother James tells us not to assume anything about tomorrow. James 4, 13 through 16, James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life, after all, but a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." A lot of people in Jesus' time, very much like some folks in our own time, were fixated on the future. They hoped to get some kind of hidden insight into how the future will unfold. Jesus was very clear about one definitive act of the future, that one day he will return. We're still waiting. He will come and he will rule the earth. But of the specifics of that event, Jesus said, "It is not for you to know." We don't like being told that, do we? Because inquiring minds, we want to know. With an eye forward, Jesus made it clear that it was better to store up treasure in a future heaven than on present earth. I've been cleaning out my garage recently. I sure have a lot of present treasure. And I don't think God wants that stuff in heaven. But the Bible, through Christ and through the apostles, speaks tantalizingly of eternity. Paul reminds us that God's fingerprints are on our very souls, that each of us have a label that says, made by God, for God, that we were created not for time, but for eternity. Jesus taught that wise believers should live ready for his future return and not be caught flat-footed on the day. I hope we are ready. In the scope of all Scripture, while the past teaches and the present enlightens, the future will see the culmination and consummation of the entire redemptive process. We'll see the end of the story that God has been writing since before time began. And while Christ would have us learn from the past and live fully in the present, he would not have us put too much weight on either, because he would tell us by far the best part is yet to come. It's a real balancing act, isn't it? It's hard to walk that tightrope. Well, if the past gives us a chance to see what God has done, and the present allows us to see what he is doing, then the future gives us a chance to be amazed by what God is going to do and trust him for it. Some of God's absolute best work is to be found in the new things that he is doing. And these things that are yet to come are always in the hatching stage. We don't see it most of the time. God is always up to something on our behalf. I love the fact that through the prophets, guys like Isaiah and Jeremiah, even though much of their writings show Israel damaged and oppressed and stricken and broken, throughout all of it, there are sudden outbursts of future light and hope. In Isaiah's thick book, chapter 43, it is a chapter of God's faithfulness in spite of their unfaithfulness. Israel, at this point, is where Israel has gotten themselves because they chose to live without God. We saw that happen in the Judges, and they didn't ever really learn how to repent. Humans, all of us, struggle with that. They got where they were going, But even though they were in a ditch, God is going to get them out one more time. And he's going to do it in a big way. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. These are God's words. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God is up to something. We're just a short stone's throw away from the Advent season. And we will see when we step into it that you have to look no further than Bethlehem to see that God is always up to something new. Quite often, no one sees it. And that brings me to this today. At Washington Avenue, God is doing a new thing. I cannot predict the future. I cannot see 1 second ahead of it. But I know this. Washington Avenue's future is going to be great if God is in it. That word if is a very small word, but it's sometimes the most powerful word of all. And it's a really huge, big if here when I say if loving God and loving others and fulfilling Christ's mission for the church remains always our prime number one directive, then the future is secure and the future is great. In Isaiah's words, God asks, do you not perceive it? That's kind of almost King James-ish, isn't it? We don't talk that way. He's saying, can't you see what God is doing? Can't you see that God is up to something big? Sometimes we don't. Let me help you see it. Some of you will remember this. God was doing a new thing almost 28 years ago as one chapter here at Washington Avenue was closing. I got a letter in the mail from Charles Gibson. Charles was the previous pastor here. He'd been here 15 years. I still have that letter, and I would love to have brought it to show you, but it's probably in my garage somewhere. Then 26 and a half years ago, God was doing a new thing when my ministry started here as summer began in 1997. There have been, since that period, 106 seasons. And in that time, so many blessings, too many blessings to name or count, but we give all the glory to God for every season. There were some succotash moments in there, yeah, but by and large, it was a feast. It's been a feast. So many blessings. Well, it's all gone so quickly. 5 years ago, God began doing a new thing. When I told the elders to begin to prepare for the fact that I would not be here forever. And they immediately formed a transition task force. Some of them are sitting down here on the front row. These were all elders. They were all men of great wisdom, highly respected men in our congregation, capable men. They are a band of brothers. And they are men that I know have this in common. They love God. And they love me, and they love this church. And over the past 5 years, they have carried that assignment so well, and they have worked very, very hard. And the culmination of this process is now at hand. At the end of next September, if the Lord wills and doesn't return first, which would be so great, I'm going to step down as the senior pastor of Washington Avenue. And when I use the word down, that is the absolutely perfect, most appropriate word because it has been our highest honor to serve here with you. I've had other opportunities throughout the years to serve and go to other churches, but it very quickly became apparent to me that any move away from Washington Avenue would be a step down. We're thankful to God for the time he's given us. Now, I want you to know this is entirely my idea, okay? It's been something that there has been no pressure. There have been no politics involved. I'm not sick, all right? I'm not sick. I'm still eating chili cheese dogs, okay? I'm not sick and tired of you, but I am getting tired. Birthdays and stressful jobs will do that to you. As God does new things, there does come a time for change, for fresh and more energetic leadership of every institution. This is true in Washington. It's also true on Washington Avenue. Old guys don't, I'm not smacking old guys. Old guys have a lot to offer. They really, really do. That gray hair comes at a price, and some of the no hair comes at a price. That's why God specified that the men who lead the church should be mature. And often that means old and gray or shiny on top. Old guys can become a roadblock, though. They can become myopic as their vision gets a little weary. I would tell you, the love and the passion that Holly and I have for this church, for the cause of Christ that is accomplished here, for the love we have for you, that has not lessened. It's not about that at all. In fact, that's part of what makes it hard. But as birthdays add up and the clock begins to run faster, our fuel runs a little low. And an old senior pastor can easily overstay his effectiveness. And I've talked to a lot of friends who have been senior pastors for lots of years, and all of them with one voice say, it is far better to leave before people start wishing you had. So over the last 5 years, there has been significant prayer. There has been a lot of time around the table with this transition team. I think I gained 5 pounds during the last year just eating at Scott's house most of the time. There's been a lot of learning, reading, a lot of understanding transitions, a lot of investigating, a lot of talking, a lot of prayer in addition to the prayer, on top of the prayer, a lot of consideration. And God has made it clear to our elders that Washington Avenue already has everything we need to move forward with solid leadership in the new seasons. To that end, I'm really thankful to announce that Lenny McKay, who has been a pastor here for 16 years, will become the lead pastor of Washington Avenue. Yeah. If you want to use a worldly vernacular, the captain of the ship. That's good, but I told him that also means if the ship goes down, you go down with it, bud. Shane Wiley, who has served us capably, doing incredible work with our young couples, has been here 7 years. Shane becomes the co-pilot. He becomes the associate lead pastor. And Jake Earls, who's been here over 6 years, I've known Shane and Jake since they were little bitty nothings. He's going to get some increase in his responsibility and opportunities, and that boy is going to be growing into something that is going to be awesome and incredible. As a team, these three are going to work together. Lenny and Shane will share all of my responsibilities except for the stupid ones that they don't want to do anymore. And they will work, as always, with a circle of elders who pray for them and hold them up and oversee them and make sure they don't do anything really stupid, as they've done for me all these years. Lenny, Shane, and Jake will create a preaching team. You've seen this happen already to some extent. They will each be preaching, and they will just be able to exercise and bless you with their exceptional gifts standing up here. You may wonder kind of more. You may wonder what's next. Well, after you have lunch today, go to the website. There'll be an FAQ page that is launched around noon, frequently asked questions, and those questions go into more detail and answer maybe more of the considerations that you're having at this moment. Check that out. Now, I'm announcing this on purpose 10 months before it actually becomes reality, and I'm not leaving today, all right? And I think that's really, really great news for me. But with God's help and by His grace, I'm going to continue to lead the staff and to lead the church into and through this transition. It's already started. It started a long time ago. Lenny and Shane will become more visible. Jake will too, as they become responsible for leading roles. And throughout 2024, as we celebrate 75 years of God's goodness to this church, I will be assisting them and cheering them on as I pass that baton, and I will do the John the Baptist thing and not get my head cut off. I will slowly fade out, moving toward the new chapter that God has in mind for us. There is so much to say and so much to share between Holly and me and you, our family and you. But Lord willing, we have time. 75th anniversary is going to be so fun. And I know that predates almost all of you. Carla McElroy, who was here last week, probably one of the longest tenured people. We got a few that sit on the pews around here that have been around for most of that, if not almost all of that time. That's going to give us opportunities to celebrate and to look backward and to look forward. And I think we should just really praise God and be especially excited about what he's going to do here at Washington Avenue. And maybe we'll be celebrating together at the 100th anniversary. They'll be rolling me in a little shopping cart and laying me up against the wall. God says, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Even in our routine, rutted, comfortable, and familiar, time-worn habits, God is doing a new thing. And through this new thing, he will show us, he will teach us, he will stretch us, no doubt. He will remind us, he will re-energize us, he will reboot and reimagine us. How sad it would be if we missed the new thing because we could not disengage from the previous new thing that has now grown old. Through mountaintops and battlegrounds, through scars and struggles and succotash and joys and sorrows, all of it undergirded by God's constant grace, he has been faithful. And never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did he leave us on our own, because he is faithful. What about today? What about right now? Well, this is the part that I've dreaded the most, because, you know, one reason I'm a pastor is because when I'm up here standing here doing this, I'm in control, right? Not having to listen to a boring sermon, right? You know, not having to try to stay awake like you do out there sometimes. I'm not wondering about the crazy people sitting around. I'm up here kind of in control of my little sphere. And so I dread when that part of today ends. Emotions want to drive, because there are lots of those. And I want to hug all of you. And I want to feel the same, but do me a favor, would you? The 8 o'clock service was excellent at this. Let's see if you guys are as good. Since I'm not leaving today, since Holly and I are not leaving today, since, Lord willing, God is giving us 10 months to hug and talk and laugh and cry a little, let's save it. Let's save it. Or I'm going to be a melted puddle, absolutely incapable of doing this another time. I would say, please don't let it be about me and Holly. Don't let it be about us. Don't let this announcement consume the day, because that's not really the big news. It's not the big news. The big news is that God is doing something new, and I hope you can see it. Let me pray for you, then we'll have one more thing. Father, wow, you've allowed us through your grace to be right in the middle of this adventure. And you have blessed us in ways that we cannot quantify. The stories we could tell, the victories we could celebrate, the struggles we could be thankful for your comfort, the ups and downs. We have never, ever walked alone. And Father, I know that we will not in the days that are ahead. And as this church walks through another transition, you have provided exactly what we need. And of all that we need, you are there, and you are faithful. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. At this time, for the second week in a row, it's my pleasure to introduce to you again Tim Merrill, our Chairman of Elders.
Good morning, everyone. God is doing something new, as Jim pointed out. Changes don't come without tears or fears, but since God is in them, as we perceive this new thing he is doing, there can also be cheers. The Transition Task Force seated here before you has done an incredible job over the past 5 years, kind of a secret mission, if you will. known mainly only to the elders. I've been a part of that process, and I'm confident that God has overseen this entire adventure, and he has brought us to this place with clear provision of the right plan for moving forward as we serve him together and seek his will. We're so thankful for WAC 75 years and for the almost 28 years God will have given us with Jim and Holly and their family. As the Lord wills, we will celebrate goodness fully in the coming 10 months. For now, today, let's honor Jim's wishes and let's make it about God and what God is up to in this new thing he is doing. We know that if we keep him first and give our hearts and priority to Christ and his church, it's going to be great. We ask you for your prayers that God will be the center of this new thing. At this time, I want to take a little bit of time to introduce the Transitional Task Force. Chairman Scott Green, if you'd please stand. Dane Williams. Mark Schaefer. Jim Sims. Larry Singleton. And myself. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to bring Scott Green forward for a closing prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we're so excited to see what you have in store for Washington Avenue next year. And Father, as we go through next year, celebrating our 75th year, we're grateful for the time you're giving us to love on Jim and Holly. And Father, we ask that you just walk with them and guide them through this next 10 months. And Father, we are excited to be walking this walk with them. And Father, we ask that you be with us today as we leave here. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Y'all are dismissed.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card there. You can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you. And I will be following up with you later on this week about those connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.